It's a pleasure to be here this evening. I'm going to read across some of my books. Next year, Copper Canyon's going to assemble the books that Michael just mentioned and put them all in one book called The Redshifting Web. But this evening, I'd like to read just across several of the books and read some new work that I've never read before. But I'd like to start this evening with an early poem from Dazzled. Caw, 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 caw. To comprehend a crow, you must have a crow's mind. To be the night rain, silver on black leaves, you must live in the shine and wet. Some people drift in their lives, green, gold, plankton, phosphorescent in the sea. Others slash a knife at a yellow window shade, tears open the light. But to live digging deep is to feel the blood in you rage as rivers, is to feel love and hatred as fibers of a rope, is to catch the scent of a wolf and turn wild. I actually want to read three extended poems this evening, and this next poem is in six sections, and it's called The Leaves of a Dream or The Leaves of an Onion. I had this obsession that the world is like an onion or an apple, and if it's an apple, there's a kind of core or essence, and if the sort of cosmos is like an onion and you're looking for that core or essence, you can start to peel and peel and peel, and soon nothing will be left in your hands. And so the image of the apple and the onion is the kind of axis that this poem revolves around. Again, it's in six sections, and I'll read them just with space between them. The leaves of a dream are the leaves of an onion. Red oak leaves rustle in the wind. Inside a dream, you dream the leaves scattered on dirt and feel it as an instance of the chance configuration to your life. All night you feel red horses galloping in your blood, hear a piercing siren and are in love with the inexplicable. You walk to your car, find the hazard lights blinking, find a rust brown knife, a trout, a smashed violin in your hands. And then you wake inside the dream to find tangerines ripening in the silence. You peel the leaves of the dream as you would peel the leaves off an onion. The layers of the dream have no core, no essence. You find a tattoo of a red scorpion on your body. You simply laugh, shiver in the frost, and step back into the world. A Galapagos turtle has nothing to do with the world of the neutrino. The ecology of the Galapagos Islands has nothing to do with a pair of scissors. The cactus by the window has nothing to do with the invention of the wheel. The invention of the telescope has nothing to do with a red jaguar. No, the invention of the scissors has everything to do with the invention of the telescope. A map of the world has everything to do with the cactus by the window. The world of the quark has everything to do with a jaguar circling in the night. The man who sacrifices himself and throws a Molotov cocktail at a tank has everything to do with a sunflower that bends to the light. Open a window and touch the sun, or feel the wet maple leaves flicker in the rain. Watch a blue crab scuttle in clear water, or find a starfish in the dirt. Describe the color green to the color blind, or build a house out of pain. The world is more than you surmise. Take the pines, green, black, slashed by light, etched by wind, on the island across the riptide body of water. Describe the 1,000 iridescent needles to a blind albino Tarahumara. In a bubble chamber, in a magnetic field, an electron spirals and spirals into the center. But the world is more than such a dance. A spiraling in to the point of origin, a spiraling out in the form of a wet leaf, a blue crab, or a green house. The heat ripples, ripple the cactus, crushed green glass in a parking lot, or a pile of rhinoceros bones give off heat, though you might not notice it. The heat of a star can be measured under a spectrometer, but not the heat of the mind or the heat of Angkor Wat. And the rubble of Angkor Wat gives off heat. So do apricot blossoms in the night, green fish, black bamboo, or a fisherman fishing in the snow. And an angstrom of shift turns the pleasure into pain. The ice that rips the fingerprint off your hand gives off heat, and so does each moment of existence. A red, red leaf disintegrating in the dirt burns with the heat of an acetylene flame, and the heat rippling off the tin roof of the adobe house is simply the heat you see. What is the secret to a Guarneri violin? Wool dipped in an indigo bath turns bluer when it oxidizes in the air. Marat is changed in the minds of the living. A shot of tequila is related to Antarctica shrinking. A crow in a bar or red snapper on ice is related to the 12-tone method of composition. And what does the tuning of timpani have to do with the smell of your hair? To feel at 30 you have come this far, to see a bell over a door as a bell over a door, to feel the care and precision of this violin is no mistake, nor is the sincerity and shudder of passion by which you live. Crush an apple, crush a possibility. No single method can describe the world. Therein is the pleasure of chaos, of leaps in the mind. A man slumped over a desk in an attorney's office is a parrotfish caught in a seaweed mass. A man who turns to the conversation in a bar is a bluefish hooked on a cigarette. Is the desire and collapse of desire in an unemployed carpenter the instinct of salmon to leap upstream? The smell of eucalyptus can be incorporated into a theory of aggression. The pattern of interference in a hologram replicates the apple, knife, horse tails on the table, but misses the sense of chaos, distorts in its singular view. Then touch, shine, dance, sing, be, becoming, be. These next poems are from Archipelago. This is a short poem called Spring Snow. A spring snow coincides with plum blossoms. In a month, you will forget, then remember when nine ravens perched in the elm sway in wind. I will remember when I break to a stop and a hubcap rolls through the intersection. An angry man grinds pepper onto his salad. It is how you nail a tin amulet ear into the lintel. If, in deep emotion, we are possessed by the idea of possession, we can never lose to recover what is ours. Sounds of an abacus are amplified and condensed to resemble sounds of hail on a tin roof. But mind opens to the smell of lightning. Bodies were vaporized to shadows by intense heat. In memory, people outline bodies on walls. This is the title poem to the book Archipelago. It's in 9 sections. It's based loosely on a ceremony at San Ildefonso Pueblo, which is a Pueblo village about 20 miles north of Santa Fe. It's famous for what's called black-on-black pottery. If you're familiar with it, the entire pot is black, but parts of it have a kind of matte or flat finish, and parts of it are shiny. And you take the clay and parts of it that are polished with a stone, when they get fired, turn into the shiny parts, and the parts that are painted turn into the flat parts. So even though the entire piece of pottery is black, you can create these patterns of snakes or macaws, whatever you want, using the sort of flat and shiny finish. And I guess the other thing I want to say is in the 9th section, you hear the word black 3 times, and they're homonyms. They have the same sound, but the spelling is changing. It's actually going from contemporary English to Middle English to Old English. It's going back in time. In a social dance at a pueblo, it's common for the dancers to throw objects out to the audience, and they can include things like pot scrubbers, aprons, plastic bowls. I've seen ketchup bottles be thrown out, cassette tapes. And it's a way of sort of reaching out to the world at large and sharing and giving back. And in the process of writing this poem, I had this idea, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to do a kind of throw of images out to the reader? So again, this is in 9 sections, Archipelago. I walk along the length of a stone and gravel garden, and feel without looking how the 15 stones appear and disappear. I had not expected the space to be defined by a wall made of clay boiled in oil, nor to see above a series of green cryptomeria pungent in spring. I stop and feel an April snow begin to fall on the stones and raked gravel, and see how distance turns into abstraction, desire, and ordinary things. From the air, corn and soybean fields are a series of horizontal and vertical stripes of pure color. Viridian, yellow ochre, raw sienna, sap green. I remember in Istanbul at the entrance to the Blue Mosque, 2 parallel extended lines of shoes humming at the threshold of paradise. Up close, it's hard to know if the rattle of milk bottles will become a topaz, or a moment of throttled anger tripe that is chewed and chewed. In the distance, I feel drumming and chanting, and see a line of Pueblo women dancing with black-on-black jars on their heads. They lift the jars high, then start to throw them to the ground. rope at ankle level, a walkway sprinkled with water under red and orange maples along a white plastered wall. Moss covering the irregular ground under propped up weeping cherry trees. In a corral, a woman is about to whisper and pat the roan's neck. An amber chasm inside a cello. In a business conversation, the silences are eel farms passed on a bullet train. A silence in the shape of a rake. A sheet of ice floating along a dock, the texture of icy black basil leaves at sunrise. A shaggy mane pushing up through asphalt. A woman wearing a multicolored dress of silk-screened naked women about to peel an egg. Three stones leading into a pond. Desire is to memory as an azalea is to a stone. During the Cultural Revolution, the youngest brother of the Pung family was executed against the wall in Chengdu for being a suspected Kuomintang agent. Years earlier, the eldest brother was executed at that wall for being a suspected communist. This Chengdu effect has no end. But if you interiorize a series of psychological tragedies, has the resonance of stone and gravel waterfalls. A first frost sweetens the apples. I want them sweeter, but discover a second frost makes the cores mush. So essential shapes are destroyed, starting at the center. A woman and man must ache from a series of betrayals before they can begin to bicker at the dinner table. I water hyacinth bulbs planted in shallow pots in the cool, dark bathroom. And though it feels odd to do so when walnuts are rotting on the ground, a thought of spring is inadvertent pleasure. A policeman pushed a dancer against the car, said, sure, when he insisted he had marigolds, not marijuana. She puts jars in a pit, covers them with sawdust, adds a layer of shards and covers them, builds a fire, and when the burn is intense, smothers it with sheep dung. She will not know for a few hours if the jars have turned completely black and did not break, cooling. For now, no one sees or knows. I inhale smoke, see vendors along the dock selling grilled corn smelling of charcoal. The air at dusk plangent with cries from minarets up on the hill. The cries resembling the waves of starlings that always precede the pulsing wingbeat V's of sandhill cranes. Oh, you can glow with anger, but it leaves the soot of an oil burner on the windows and walls. If anguish is an end in itself, you walk into a landscape of burned salt cedar along a river. I remember seeing hungry passengers disembark at the docks. Men dressed in cottonwood leaves dance in the curving motion of a green rattlesnake. I am walking along a sandstone trail and stop in a field of shards. Here is a teal zigzag, and there is a blood-red deer's breath arrow. women dancers offer melons to the six directions, then throw them to the ground. A wave rocks through the crowd as the melons are smashed open. I know I have walked along a path lit by candles inside open mesh cast iron carp. I stop at a water basin, and as I bend to ladle water, see reflected a sweet gum leaf. As a cornmeal path becomes a path to the gods, then a cornmeal path again, I see the line of women dancing with black on black jars on their heads. They raise the jars with macaw and lightning patterns to the six directions, then form a circle and throw them down on the center, marking stones. Go kiss a horse's ass. He hanged himself from the flagpole. I just do what I'm told. She wanted him to hold her and say nothing. Depression is due to loss or guilt. Who heard shrieks in the morning a mutilated body was found behind the adobe church? He saw that A or B was not a choice, since A and B had been predetermined. I hated that painting, so I burned it. Hair on the wood stove. I'm so glad. After fallopian surgery, she touches her scar, combs her hair, puts on makeup. The red phoenix tattoos on the arms of a locksmith. A man's character is his fate. He had two cameras, but was always pawning one to release the other. They slept a Mediterranean sleep, sun, sand, water. The bed had the soft motion of waves. No, 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 no! Water is the koan of water. I look at 14 stones submerged at varying depths in a sea of gravel. I do not know under which stone is a signature, but guess that a pin-sized hourglass space separating intention and effect is a blind point where anger may coalesce into a pearl. I may sit here until the stones have a riparian shine and are buoyant in September starlight, yet never live to see how grief turns into the effortless stretch of a fisherman casting a fly onto a stream. When I slept on the float house, I became accustomed to the rise and fall of the tide, so that when I walked on the rainforest island, I was queasy. I wanted a still, pellucid point, but realized the necessary and sufficient condition is to feel the pin-sized space as a point of resistance, as a smash that is a beginning wave of light. The dancers reappear and enter the plaza in two lines, shifting feet in rhythm to the shifting drumming. They approach the crowd under the yellow cottonwood. Mating above the cattails, red dragonflies. Sipping lychee tea, eating fried scallion pancakes. Bamboo slivers under the fingernails. Playing ping pong by candlelight in a greenhouse. Digging up and rotating soil in the flower beds. Pulling and pulling at her throat until it bleeds. Scraping the skin of the earth. Finding shaggy manes have deliquesced into black ink. releasing endorphins in the brain. Archipelago, an expanse of water with many scattered islands. A python coiling around 16 white oblong eggs. Waking in the dark to pungent hyacinths. Blooming, the pure white curve of blooming. Dancers are throwing licorice, sunflower seeds, pot scrubbers, aprons, plastic bowls. Plastic bowls, aprons, pot scrubbers, sunflower seeds, licorice. The shadow of a hummingbird. Crab apple blossoms scattering in the street. A silence in the shape of a chanterelle. A turkey feather hanging from a branch of mountain ash. The forms of lightning. A yellow iris blooming near the house marker, 1932. River stones marking the noon solstice. Black, black, black. Following the thread of recollection through a lifetime. The passions becoming the chiming sounds of jade. Blue corn growing in a field of sand. The chug-chug-ca-ca of a cactus wren. A black and yellow butterfly closing then opening its wings. Egrets wading in shallow water at low tide. I'm going to read one other suite of poems, and it's a new series that I've been working on, and it's called Apache Plume, and each section has a title. I wanted the poems to have their own independence, but be part of this larger framework, and this will be fun for me. I've never read these before, and it's a suite of 10, and this will be the closing suite. Maybe a couple of words about some of the titles. There's, I guess I consider myself a philosophy dropout. When I was a student at Berkeley, I studied philosophy thinking, oh, this should help me as a poet, and I don't know, maybe it took me 20 years to be able to use some of it. But there's a word, anamnesis, which in Greek philosophy and Plato is recollection, and it's this theory that knowledge is recollection, that maybe that when you're born, you sort of forget it all and you have to recollect it and relearn it. And all the things you think you're learning for the first time, you're just actually recollecting. They're already there, but you have to remember them. And the title to the last section is a term from science. It's called diffraction grating, which is can be something very simple like a sheet of clear plastic, and it has these lines in it which you don't actually see, but if you hold a diffraction grating up to any source of light, like the light on that wall or the light from a star, when you look through the diffraction grating, there's a signature of what's called absorption lines, and every source of light has a unique signature. So when you hold this thing up, you can look at something and it has its unique configuration of light and darkness and the patterns. So I'll read this last suite here. Apache Plume. The beginning web. Blue flax blossoming near the greenhouse is a luminous spot, as is a point south of the barrancas where two rivers join. By the cattail pond, you hear dogs killing a raccoon. In mind, these spots breathe and glow. In the bath, I pour water over your shoulder. Notice the spot where a wild leaf has grazed your skin. I see the sun dropping below the San Andreas Mountains, white dunes in starlight. In the breathing chiaroscuro, I glimpse red-winged blackbirds nesting in the cattails. See a cow pushing at the wobbling point in a fence. In this beginning web of light, I feel the loops and whorls of your fingertips, hear free-tailed bats swirling out into the dark. Reductions and enlargements. A Chippewa designer dies from pancreatic cancer and leaves behind tracing paper, X-Acto knives, styrofoam, glue, non-photo blue pencils, a circular instrument that calculates reductions and enlargements. A child enters a house and finds a dead man whose face has been eaten by dogs. Who is measuring the pull of the moon in a teacup? In 1,000 years, a man may find barrels of radioactive waste in a salt bed and be unable to read the warnings. Sand is accumulating at the bottom of an hourglass, and almost anything, scissors, green wind chime, pencil shavings, eraser smudge, blooming orchid under skylight, may be a radial point into light. When a carp flaps its tail and sends ripples across the surface of a pond, my mind steadies into a glow. Look at a line that goes into water. Watch the wake. See the string pulse and stretch into curved light. The names of a bird. You find a downy woodpecker on the bedroom floor. I am startled and listen in the snowy dark to deer approach a house and strip yew leaves. In pots, agapanthuses are opening umbels of violet flowers. Neither driven by hunger nor flowering in the moment, what drives an oologist to distinguish wren and sparrow from finch eggs? What drives a physicist to insist the word sokol means falcon in Hungarian? If you know the names of a bird in 10 languages, do you know any more about the bird? Driving past an ostrich farm, I recollect how you folded a desert willow blossom into a notebook. I recollect rolling down a white dune at dusk, pulling a green jade disc dangling on a thread at your throat into my mouth. I know what it is to touch the mole between your breasts. The architecture of silence. The gate was unlocked. We drove to the road's end. Grapefruit lay on the ground not far from a white house whose window caught a glare. December 29th, 4 p.m. At first, we couldn't find the trail, but walked ahead and crossed a river full of black boulders. Days earlier, we had looked down into the Halava Valley from a kukui grove. There was speckled bark, slanting rain, horses in a field, drenching rain. We had been walking back from the ocean where we moved from rock to rock and saw black crabs scuttling along the tide line. We looked into the water, saw sea cucumbers on rocks. On the way back, white lepiotas among grass and a small white puffball. I sliced open the puffball, but it was olive green. Deer crossing the road stopped near the fence line and gazed back at us. I inhaled the aroma of shredded ginger and saw three pairs of dragonflies overhead, their wings catching daylight. Where is the one inside the many, or are there many inside one? We came to a fork in the trail and noticed an exposed root growing across the right fork. We twisted left and glimpsed twin waterfalls. Wild boar were stunned in our headlights. It was getting dark. We came to another stream with white water rushing across black boulders and paused. Raindrops dropping off the eaves stop dropping. Hourglass. Père Lachaise, breaking bread on a green bench under chestnut trees as rain drizzles down the leaves and smoke rises out of the crematorium chimney. Is recollection a form of memento mori? I see papyrus growing in a copper tub in the bedroom, sense your hands rubbing blackthorn oil into my skin. I close my eyes, feel the warmth of straw-flecked adobe walls. A white chrysanthemum opens in a cup of boiling water. Willow leaves on the skylight cast onto an ochre wall, shadows resembling herring under a float house. Is recollection a form of epistemological inquiry? I am cradling you as you lean back into me, flecks of white sand in your hair and on your eyelids. I am holding you in a white dune as the moon rises, as white sand begins to touch the bottom of an hourglass. Entelechy. Placing long-stemmed sunflowers in a vase or staring at a map of Paris may be forms of ripening. In the garden, red leaf lettuce has bolted in the heat. The surface of water in an old whiskey barrel twitches with mosquito larvae. A bingo billboard on a highway may be a momentary rippling, but the deeper undulation is shark womb skin. Slicing abalone on the counter, I catch a tidal surge at my fingertips. By candlelight, a yellow cosmos. Koi roiling the surface of a stream into gold flecks. Your sharp, wild cries. Apache plume. Climbing out of an arroyo, I reach my hand into a small cactus and see the taro plant in the backyard unfurl a new leaf. A great horned owl perched on a ledge twitches its ears when we approach along the bottom of a ravine. I spot a hummingbird at the hollyhock, pear blossoms swirling on gravel near the gate. When you light a candle, the flickering shadow on the wall has the shape of an eagle feather. In the morning, when you do a yoga stretch, I feel the rhythm with which you sway, fingertip to fingertip, mouth to mouth, the shifting course of the Powaki River, white Apache plume blossoming to silvery puff. And as an astronomer catches light echoes from a nova, when I pull spines out of my palm, I know this instant moment, which is ours. Anamnesis. Wind erases our footprints on a transverse dune. A yellow yoke of sun drops below the horizon as a white moon rises. Claret cup cactus bloom in white sand while soap tree yucca move as a dune moves. The mind reduces a pond to a luminous green speck and enlarges a flecked Amanita muscaria cap into a cosmos. Running my hand along the curve of your waist, I wonder if knowledge is a form of anamnesis. When I pour warm water down your spine, a Boletus borrowsii releases spores into air. As a stone drops into a pool and red koi swim toward the point of impact, we set a yarrow stalk aside and throw duration. Glimpse a spiral of bats ascend out of a cave. One by one, they flare off toward the Pecos River. Starlight. Here, skid marks on I-25 mark a head-on collision. Here, I folded an origami crane. Here, a man writes in grass style, Huan Wa He Shan. Here, black poplar leaves swayed on the surface of clearest water. Here, a downy woodpecker drills high in the elm. Here, a dog drags a horse's leg back from the arroyo. Here, keen cement burned into my wrist and formed a riparian scar. Here, traveling at night through the great Sonoran Desert, everyone gasped and choked when sand swept through the open windows of the train. Here, yellow and red ranunculi unfold under a chandelier. Here, in the Hamas Mountains, a cluster of Clytosebe dilatata. Here, we spot 11 dolphins swimming between kelp beds up the coast. Here we look through binoculars at the blue ion tail of a comet in the northwest sky. Here pelicans are gliding above a cliff. Here when I pour water down a drain, a black cricket pops up. Here the first thing I saw when I opened my eyes was a cut peony in a glass. Here is the origin of starlight. And this is the last poem in the suite, Diffraction Grating. Sipping kava out of a tea bowl, I am descending into a cavern that inhales and exhales once each day. I see an alula in a tropical greenhouse, the tracks a bleached, earless lizard makes in white sand, the tracks my fingers make on your skin. I see a spectrum of origami cranes strung on thread at a Kurashiki temple, Manchurian cranes in a cage and a salt sumo ring. Papyrus stalks arc out of an urn near the fireplace on the bedroom floor. Is a solar flare a form of a koan? Blue larkspur in a glass vase. A stalactite dripping into a pool of water. Hush, there is nothing in 10 dimensions that is not dilating the pupils of our eyes. Thank you.